First, we need to thank this young lady for all the hard work that she put, not just in last week, but this has been going on for months now. Her and her team have been making all the sets, and so fun, she said. But seriously, Sheree, thank you so much for all the amazing work. I know you didn't do it alone. You had a great team, but let's thank her. And she has some special friends that she's going to ask to come up and share a little bit about what happened this week. Sheree.
Thank you. I would actually like to personally thank all the volunteers as well. Those of you who donated items, funds that would go directly to Vacation Bible School, it truly wouldn't have happened without you guys. So Mark did mention the term hundreds. Hundreds of children here. So without you guys, that would not have been possible. So thank you again. We do have some Vacation Bible School friends here to share. Before we do that, I just wanted to bring your attention. The theme was called Cave Quest. And the way that group curriculum does this is incorporates cave themes to make it a fun experience for the kids, but not only through Bible stories, but through object lessons in a station called Imagination Station. So if you could imagine, there are 5 rotations that happen on campus within about 3 hours. So we are now going to invite the kids forward to share what they learned in those stations. Okay? So my first volunteers are Noah and Aiden. They're going to be carrying our day one sign all the way across the stage. These are kindergarten friends and a mommy and me. So if you guys could come all the way across the station, watch the props. We practice this. All right, boys, all the way across to over here, okay? Yay. Oh, keep going. Keep going, Aiden. All the way, all the way. I love that they're wearing their hats this morning. Representing angels. Okay, so our day one friend is Ryan Sanchez. So Ryan's going to come up and share what he learned at Vacation Bible School on day one. All right, Ryan, here you go. Ryan is a fourth grader.
At Vacation Bible School, I learned that Jesus is the light of our world. When you are down, Jesus gives us courage. In kid video, I learned about a girl named Emily. Emily cuts her hair and gives it to kids with cancer.
Right? Isn't that the sweetest? Thank you, Ryan. Can you bring them all the way around? So in day one, Emily was a preschooler who decided to, on her own, donate her hair. So that really struck a chord with Ryan. Ryan, thank you for sharing that with us. So for day two, I'd like to invite Tyler to the stage. Day two. Oh, that's okay. Here, I'll come with you. All right. So brave. Talk about courage, right? All right. So for day two, I would like to invite my friends Sam and Jack to the stage. Yay! All right. Sam and Jack are going into the third grade. Sam, would you like to go first?
I learned in story time that Peter had the courage to walk out on the ocean to talk to Jesus. He had the courage to do that.
Right? So Peter was the only disciple that had enough courage to get out. Thank you.
On day two, I went to the Imagination Station, and I learned about cave snot.
Yes. And just to clarify, cave snot, the object lesson in that was that when you add water to the powder, it became stronger. So when you invite Christ to live in your heart, you can no longer separate those two elements, the powder and the water that did, in fact, make cave snot. Thank you, Jack. All right, for day three, I'd like to invite Tatum and Bradley to the stage. Come all the way across. Tatum and Bradley are going into the first grade, and joining them on stage is going to be Cade Thomas. Cade is going into sixth grade.
I get to talk about day three, and on day three, we learned that Jesus gives us direction, and just like Isaac did when he got lost in a store and couldn't find his mom, in the KidVid videos, and then he went. Jesus gave him direction to go to a worker and find his mom.
Thank you, Cade. Thank you, Bradley and Tatum. So for day four, I'd like to invite Justin. Justin is going into the second grade, and joining him on stage is Abby Templeton to share about what we learned on day four. Abby's going into third grade, and she's going to share with you as well. Do you want to hold the mic, or do you want me to hold it?
Okay. I learned that God can give us love through hard times, and when people are hurt.
When people are hurt, yeah. Give you the courage to love them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Abby. Jesus gives us love, which was on day four. Okay, for day five, I'd like to invite Eli and Bella up on stage together. They're betrothed. It's so sweet. Okay, you guys can come all the way across to Pastor Mark on the other side of the stage, day five. And speaking today on day five is Emma and Layla. Emma and Layla are going into the fourth grade. Do you guys want to hold it? You want me to hold it for you? Okay, great.
I learned that steam, ice, and water are all the same thing, like God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are all the same thing.
In KidVid videos, I learned that a girl named Riley, she helped kids in Africa build a school.
Thank you guys for sharing. If we could get a round of applause for all of our friends having the courage to get up here today. Thank you again for joining us for Vacation Bible School Sunday. This was something that has been on our hearts for a long time. At this time, I'd like to invite Rob up to share the real message of Vacation Bible School Sunday.
Keep talking, but then once it kicks in, see, you cover your ears, you know. Hey, first of all, Cherie and all the volunteers and the students, you guys did amazing. Let's give it up one more time for them. It was such a joy to walk around just in the sanctuary and classroom to classroom this week, and just to see the joy on these, the smiles of these students and getting to hear the message that these volunteers and Cherie were teaching them. It truly was just amazing to see all that God was doing. And so, let me see, I might even be muted on here. Am I muted? Is that it? No? I can do that. All right.
How are we doing here? There we go. All right. Now we're live. Well, again, yeah, it really was a joy to see so many young lives that were just hearing about Jesus and hearing about God's love. So it really was a joy, so thank you all for doing that. And I just personally want to thank you all. It is such a joy for me and my family to be here. We really do, so many of you have come up to us and said, hey, we are praying for you as you're moving and selling and trying to find a home, and so we really do feel the prayers and appreciate just all that your love and support through this time. So would you pray with me, and let's just offer up this time to God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son on the cross. Lord, that is why we all gather, and it is because of you. We ask that you would be with us, Lord, in this time. We ask that in your son's name. Amen. So for timing, it's just going to be a short little mini message here. We wanted to hear from the kids, and we still want to make sure to have time that you get to see the lives that were impacted. And this is no small thing that is going on in these church walls, which I love. The heart for these young children is incredible. And I'm often reminded of the story in Mark 10. 13 through 16, where Jesus is with his disciples and the parents are bringing their children. It says that these adults are bringing children to Jesus that Jesus would touch them. And that Jesus, they're hoping, they have heard rumors about this Jesus who heals. And remember in the Gospels, you hear about the story about this woman who's bleeding. And she just says, if I could just touch Jesus, I will be healed. And so these parents hear about this, and they're bringing these young children to be healed. And what happens out of all the people that say, no, it's Jesus' disciples. Jesus' disciples are the ones that prevent it. So first, before we're going to deal with the disciples, okay? We're going to get to them. But first, just the parents bringing, whether it's the parents or just adults that were bringing these children, there's two things that I think we need to look at, that there is value in the children, and they understood that. And so for many of you that brought your children to VBS, there is no better thing that you can offer your child than to hear the good news of the gospel. So thank you for bringing your children. Thank you, church, for supporting. I am so blessed to be a part of a church that says, yes, we care about the children. Yes, we want these children to be blessed with the greatest news that they can ever have. Disneyland, you know, Knott's Berry Farm, all of these things, they provide temporary joy, but the joy of the gospel will live forever. And that's something that, there was something that these parents got, and they wanted to bring their children. And so as they're bringing their children up, of course, of all people, the disciples are the ones that say, no, no, no. It's almost, you know, it doesn't tell us what they said, but could you imagine what these disciples, it's like, do you know Jesus? He's big time. This is a big time guy. He doesn't have time for these little children. Now, in our day and age, we love children, and it's very nostalgic, and, you know, we think about our own childhood. But in the Greco-Roman world, around the time when Jesus was living, children weren't idolized. They weren't cherished like we cherish them. They weren't, if you would count large crowds, they weren't counted in the crowd. And so they didn't value them. They were kind of the outcasts of society. You know, they always joke, it's like, you hear certain parents joke, hey, well, once my kid can mow the lawn, then, you know, then he can kind of carry the weight around. I'm still trying to train my four-year-old daughter to mow my lawn. It's not working out for me. But that's really what they would say is, hey, these children don't really have worth in society until they contribute. So what happens, and this is what I think is so fascinating in this text, is that Jesus, it says this little word that he says, he becomes indignant. Jesus becomes upset with his disciples, with the disciples, because they are preventing these children from coming to Jesus. Why is that? And Jesus goes in to say later on, he goes in to explain what the kingdom of God is like. And so we get to know a few things about our Father from this. We get to know about Jesus' love because he's trying to teach the disciples. It's not just the ones that have worth that get to come into the kingdom. It's not just the ones that contribute are the ones that get to get the blessing. And that's true. And so a lot of us, we come in, we walk through these doors with our own insecurities. Many of you may know Howard Schultz, the CEO, he's the chair, and he's the president of Starbucks. Kind of a big deal, right? There's a lot of Starbucks in the world. And so here's the CEO of a major company, and one of the things he shares in a Harvard Review Journal, he says, a lot of CEOs, he says, we won't share it, but we're insecure. We don't even, half the time he says, I don't even feel like I'm the man for the job. I look around and I feel like there's so many other people that are more qualified than I am. And so that's how we all step into this world. That's how we all approach Jesus, is unqualified. And I know it's sad news. It's sad news. We're not qualified. But the beauty of the gospel is that Jesus turns upside down. He shatters people's paradigms and says, no,
It's not about what you have to offer, because the gospel says all of us aren't qualified. Nobody is qualified, but there is one who is, and that was Jesus. And Jesus went to the cross so that you and I could be qualified in God's sight. And so Jesus becomes indignant. And some of us that might be visiting, you might have experienced the same thing that these parents did. Well-intended Christians that maybe kept you, maybe it was comments, maybe it was just difficulty, their demeanor, oh, you don't belong here. And so our hope and prayer at Wilshire is that this would be a place where you could feel comfortable and that you could learn about Jesus. And we just want to say that we're sorry. That I have probably at some point have been like those disciples, have prevented people from coming to get to know Jesus. And so our hope, if you're just checking things out, that you would hear our apology, that we're sorry. Because there is a God who becomes Jesus. What is he? He becomes angry at the fact that there are those that are preventing these children from coming to him. And I love that. The other, in Luke, and sometimes we can miss that little word, that Jesus became indignant. He became upset because there are those that he wants to draw into the kingdom. And so that picture, as Jesus says, no, let these children come to me. All of us, whether we're young or we're old, the invitation, Jesus says to come to me. And what does he do right after that? He blesses the children. There is blessing from Jesus that rains down God's grace, not based on our qualifications, but that we can come and there's a God that fights for us and that fights to draw us near. Our hope and prayer as we come into this fall, there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to explore and look at. That there might be some ideologies and some things that you might have heard or been taught that have kept you from coming to hear about Jesus. Our hope is that we can begin to remove those and that you would come face to face with Jesus who says, no, let the children come to me. Let those who are not qualified come to me. I love you. I care for you. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this gift of your love, that we get to come and to see who you are face to face. Lord, it's in little stories like this and moments in your life that we get to see and to get glimpses of your grace and your love. Lord, in our lives, in our careers, our school for the little ones, Lord, we might not feel qualified and we might feel insecure in our lives. But Lord, you say, come. Come to me, Lord, your word says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, for I will give you rest. Lord, there is rest, there is hope, there is grace, there is life in you, Father. I pray that some of us, we'd begin to explore what this means. Lord, forgive us for the ways as a church that we have prevented those from hearing about your love. Father, we thank you that you care for the least of these, and Lord, we are the least of these. So we just pray that we would come to know you more. We ask that in your son's name. Amen.